Our scripture reading today is Acts 1, verse 1 through 11. Verse 1, in the first book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, and after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that power will the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you in heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank my sister in Christ for sharing the words of truth that can be trusted. I ask that you would please join with me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would keep us open to sensing the deeper truth in it, the greater power in it, the wonderful hope conveyed in it. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Amen. You've probably never experienced this, but I have, and so I want to relay it to you. There are times whenever I feel tired. Probably none of you ever feel tired, I'm sure. Or more specifically, that you're carrying a burden along, maybe dragging one along, maybe carrying one on your shoulders. If you have, anybody feel that? No, you've never felt that. You've just been skipping along with a spring in your step and a whistle and making people wondering what it's all about, haven't you? If you have ever felt that, the words today are words of hope. If you've ever felt like there was a burden that you were carrying or something that you were literally dragging through the dirt, almost grinding you to a halt, today conveys a message of hope specifically for you. The scripture passage speaks about an event in the life of the church, or I should say, in the life of the people of God, because the church was only starting to form, evolve, and was going to burst forward in a very powerful way very soon, in just another 10 days, when Pentecost comes. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Hold on. The ascension is something that in the church calendar is not necessarily one of those major holidays. We don't ever see ascension trees. or the Ascension Bunny, or have Ascension egg hunts, right? There's nothing for the Ascension. But Ascension Sunday is critical, because without it, we would never really truly have a mission as the church. Unless Jesus ascends to God, is taken up to God, then we would never be able to step forward in mission as God's people. That's why today it is a day of power. It's also a day of release and relief, where we can recognize that it is God's call in our lives, calling us to step forward, calling us to step forward in that way that we were fearful of, calling us to step forward in that way that we were unsure about, that God kept putting on our hearts, making a decision, making a change, laying that burden before God, and living in a more free and grace-filled way. Doesn't that sound good? That's a wonderful thing. And that's the hope of the scripture today. I need to step back just for a moment and read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses beginning with verse 44. Then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking here, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he, Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He blessed them all. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. A little bit different rendition than the one that we heard today, isn't it? The reading from Acts has them staring up into space, looking around. And in verse 11, it says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven?" There were two heavenly visitors, two representatives of God there asking them this question. Well, if you had just seen Jesus taken up in the air, wouldn't you be looking up also? I mean, think about it. You're standing there. All of a sudden, Jesus starts to levitate. Now, this is not like a David Blaine street magic thing where he lifts off the ground or supposedly lifts off the ground. This is Jesus actually being lifted up to heaven. Yeah, I think I might be looking up too, kind of watching, trying to see where he went, what's going to happen next. Jesus always, in the Gospels, think about this, Jesus always seemed to be someplace other than where he's supposed to be, doesn't he? He's always with the sinners. He's always in places where people want to criticize him. He's always doing things that stretch people. And here, once again, he's being lifted up. He's challenging people's understanding and opening their minds and their hearts. Jesus says to those who are gathered, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority." In other words, Jesus says, be open to being in God's time. That's tough, isn't it? That is a challenge. Because, you know, Ascension Sunday is also about waiting. It's about the interim, and it's about uncertainty. It's about simply trusting and feeling and knowing in our hearts that although we might not know what the future holds, we know who holds the future. And we know that God is the one who's going to continue to be in our lives if we simply trust. And it doesn't matter what we have to lay before God. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with. The God who raised Jesus from the dead and ascended him into heaven is the God of power that is at work in our life this very minute. 40 days after the resurrection, they were still waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Some context here. Then Jesus is lifted up, and they're still waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. God's timing. Remember that? God's timing. Not our agenda, not our plan. Well, Lord, thanks for the help, but I think I can handle it from here. When things are going well. And when things are going bad, Lord, why don't you do this now? Waiting upon God's blessing. Sometimes in the uncertainty, what that is a sign that we need to quiet ourselves. We need to step back, and we need to ponder, and we need to just be open to sensing God in the subtle things, in the small things, in the quietness of life, or maybe in the din of life, to know that God is still there in chaos. God, you see, will never leave us. We are the ones with our heads in the clouds. We are the ones who turn away. We are the ones who forget, but God continues to pursue. And in this ascension, although they had not received the Holy Spirit yet, the disciples, the promised Holy Spirit yet, and although Jesus was being lifted up away from them and they're wondering, what do we do now? God was still pursuing them and at work in their journey. For Jesus to be risen meant that he would be able to be present, not simply with those who he was able to physically see, but now, through God's Holy Spirit, he would be able to be present with those all over the world. Do you understand that? That's one of the powerful things about the church, is that God has worked in our lives, in each of our lives individually, but also in this gathering of his church this morning. So that although Jesus is not physically here in front of us, that means that spiritually he is present in each of us more powerfully than we can ever imagine. Now, Pentecost, again, is still a Sunday away, so we're not going to talk about that yet. We're not there yet. But we are at the ascension. We are at that time of power that reminds us that God's touch is upon us and he's not through with us yet. Teresa of Avila offers us these words. And they remind us of what happened next. Those who saw Jesus lifted up, those who were standing there wondering what to do, needed to remember that it was now their mission. No longer simply following Jesus in the flesh, but following him in every word and action that they offered. Teresa of Avila offers us these words when she says, God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours. No hands but ours. No feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. In artist renditions of the ascension, whenever you see that, Jesus being lifted up, sometimes you can only see his feet hanging out of the clouds, which is kind of an odd picture, really, when you think about it. But you also see his footprints still remaining on the ground, if you look at them. Christ's footprints and the impact that they made are the footprints that we are called to follow and make here and now. We have been given our marching orders, church, and that means we are called to carry out the mission of grace and healing. Specifically, our mission is this: to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, and to offer freedom to those who are oppressed, to all of the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus came to do, and that is what our mission is now. Following in his footsteps, and even stepping out in the footsteps that God guides us to follow. It's good. It's good stuff. It's exciting. Not simply coming here to hear the good news, but to also know that we are part of God's work. We have value. We have purpose. We have a mission because we are God's church in the world today. Where are Jesus' footprints leading you in mission? Who are they leading you to? What situations or circumstances are they leading you into? And in the midst of following, have you taken time just to be open to how God guides you, to receiving his grace? I want to give you a few moments to receive that right now. A few moments that as we hear some music playing and as we can just close our eyes and meditate on the fact that God is calling us into continuing the mission of his Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, to think about how God is at work in your life. How God is giving you the time to be filled by his love, and how God is guiding you to follow the footsteps of his Son, our Savior, in mission. Take these few moments and know that God loves you. God is at work right now in your journey.